Welcome to The Disappearing Mind, a unique podcast helping you find clarity and support along your dementia journey. Now, join National Dementia Trainer and Coach, Dawn Platt, for an all-new episode.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Disappearing Mind podcast. I'm Dawn, your host, and I'm glad that you're here as we continue exploring Alzheimer's Awareness Month this November. We have created several podcasts in and around this month. I hope you listen to each one because each one is going to be helpful as you educate yourself about Alzheimer's Awareness Month and about different aspects of Alzheimer's disease and other dementias. In our previous episodes, we've discussed what Alzheimer's disease is, the many types of dementia, and what a day in the life of someone living with Alzheimer's disease can feel like. Today, we're focusing on behavioral triggers, those moments when someone with Alzheimer's disease acts out, becomes agitated, withdraws, or repeats words and actions. You may ask yourself, why is this happening? Is it intentional? Do they know what they're doing? The answer is no. Behavior is not random. It's not a personality flaw. In Alzheimer's disease, behaviors are often the way and the only way a person can communicate in a world that becomes confusing, unpredictable, and sometimes frightening to them. Today, I want to help you step into their reality. Understand the triggers and explore ways that we can lead with compassion. When we understand what's truly happening, it makes it so much easier to deal with what is in front of us. Imagine waking up one morning in a room that looks almost the same, but not quite. A chair is slightly moved, the light feels harsh, the clock is missing. Every detail that once felt safe now feels wrong. You're confused, anxious, and unsure what to do next. This is where behaviors begin. Behavioral triggers are events, environments, or interactions that provoke agitation, fear, withdrawal, or repetitive actions. They are not misbehavior. They are the brain's way of trying to communicate. Some of the common triggers that you may see are in the environment: excess noise, clutter, sudden changes in routine. Some of the physical needs someone may have that trigger behavior: hunger, thirst, pain, fatigue. Maybe they're tired. There's emotional stress. There's fear or frustration or feeling misunderstood. And then there's communication challenges. Not understanding instructions or questions. You ever feel dumb when somebody asks you a question and you don't really know what they're saying? People with dementia probably are not going to ask you to repeat that. That's a challenge that really can produce behavior, simply that processing skill that they no longer have or it doesn't function efficiently. These behaviors are often called a voice in a confused world. That's what I call them. I say every behavior is a voice. It's a way for someone with Alzheimer's disease or other dementias to say, I need help. I am scared. I don't understand, without saying any of those things. Why do these behaviors happen? Well, let me give you an example. Mr. Thompson, a man with moderate Alzheimer's disease, becomes agitated every afternoon when the staff at the memory care community try and assist him with getting dressed. He yells, he resists, and sometimes pushes the clothes aside. To an outsider, or maybe even a family member, this might seem stubborn. But in his mind, he can no longer recognize the clothes immediately. He may feel exposed or vulnerable. He may feel uncertain about what to expect, and he feels loss of control. What in the heck are you trying to do? These are factors that are going to trigger behavior because Alzheimer's disease and other types of dementia affect memory, reasoning skills, and the brain's ability to process multiple steps. Creating fear and frustration in the mind and the behavior of the person with the disease. This is why behaviors are often triggers rather than choices. Here are a few other examples that may help you understand what's happening and how you should react. Repetition. Repeating questions, phrases, or actions is often a way for the person to seek reassurance or to express anxiety. For instance, they may ask, "When is dinner?" multiple times. It is not forgetfulness alone. It's a signal of uncertainty and need for connection. Maybe they just don't know what time of day it is. Maybe they're uncertain about what's going to happen next, and that's the thing they connect to. Maybe it's not about hunger at all. It's just about what is going to happen next. If you look at it in that way, it's going to be helpful to you. How about withdrawal? Sometimes the person withdraws, avoids eye contact, or refuses to participate in something. This can be due to sensory overload, too much sensory coming into their brain at one time, confusion, or feeling unable to meet expectations. Their world may feel overwhelming to them because of the disease. So they retreat to cope. Nobody wants to feel pressured. Nobody wants to feel pushed. Maybe you're moving too quickly. Maybe you're talking too fast. Maybe you're asking too many questions, or maybe your expectations are higher than what they can meet. They're going to withdraw. Agitation or aggression, yelling, pushing, or resisting can be triggered by frustration, can be triggered by pain, or the inability to communicate needs. Imagine someone trying to get dressed but forgetting the steps. The frustration builds and manifests as resistance. We've all done that. We've all tried to fix something or tried to work something or tried to do something, and we get frustrated. Imagine compounding that by dementia. We need to really look at this and have a little compassion on what's going on. Let's talk about wandering. Moving aimlessly or leaving a safe place often signals disorientation or anxiety. In their mind, they could be thinking they may be trying to go home or return to a safe space or a safe place, to a familiar place. And perhaps that place only exists in their memory. Wandering or meandering aimlessly means they're looking for something. It could be a lot of things, but when you look at it as that, perhaps you can meet the social need, the emotional need, or the security need that they have and help them walk through that. Hallucinations or paranoia, seeing or believing things that aren't present, can be frightening for that person and for the caregiver. These behaviors often occur in dementias like Lewy body dementia or mixed dementias, but also in some Alzheimer's disease with sensory confusion. Responding with reassurance rather than confrontation is key here. They believe what they see. Trying to talk them down or tell them it isn't there is not something that they can process. But making them feel safe or walking through it with them will. You see, these behaviors are communication in a world that no longer makes sense to them. They tell us something important. The person is overwhelmed, afraid, in pain, or trying to connect. That's what these behaviors tell us. If we only look for those signs, it will be much easier for us and more supportive in the person that we're caring for. If we step back and ask, what is this behavior trying to tell me? We can move from frustration to empathy. Understanding why behaviors happen sets the stage for identifying triggers. What are triggers? Triggers are things that if we identify, we can intervene more thoughtfully, We can reduce distress and support both the person and the caregiver. What are triggers? How can we identify triggers? How do we know what triggers behavior? It's observation. Observation is key. That's how I do it. Think of it as detective work, noting patterns, environments, time and space, and even individuals. So when I am looking to solve a behavior, to support a behavior, I do a behavioral log where I document and keep a log, noting patterns, no time of day, the environment they're in. Is it in the dining room? Is it after shower? Is it when the cousin leaves? What is all of these patterns? This detective work is going to help you in finding a solution and caring for the person with this. Keep a behavioral log. Track on that log what happens before, during, and after this behavior. You'll find patterns over time that you can really look at. This is going to give you a thought of timing when this could occur, or a person or a situation that you may be putting them in that they need to be removed from. Note that time of day, note the surrounding they're in, the people present, and the person's mood. It really helps you in decreasing behaviors when you understand how to intervene before this happens. Look for patterns. Is agitation more common in the morning or the evening? Does it involve a particular caregiver or a task that provokes it? Perhaps it's getting dressed. Perhaps it's taking a shower. Perhaps it's going to the doctor. Perhaps they're upset after the wife leaves or the daughter leaves or whatever the case may be. Consider unmet needs. Are they hungry? Are they uncomfortable or in pain? Are they tired or overstimulated? Are their clothes uncomfortable? Are their shoes uncomfortable? All of those factors can produce behavior. What are the unmet needs? Do they need a hug? And then reflect on the emotions that they're expressing as you log these behaviors. Are they projecting fear, anxiety, confusion, even unspoken grief can drive behaviors. I have helped many families who cannot understand why dad is missing his father who died 40 years ago. But in dad's mind, his father just died. He's reliving it over and over and over again. These kinds of emotion can impact them, and we need to know and recognize this need, this emotional need, this emotional void that they have. That's what produces triggers that produce behavior. Our goal is to reduce behaviors. We can't always cure behaviors, but we can reduce them. We can remove them from the environment or the trigger that is there as much as possible. Imagine a caregiver noticing that Mrs. Long's agitation always occurs during mealtime. By logging details, they realize the room is noisy, the food is served very quickly. Adjusting the environment to a quieter setting and a slower pace can dramatically reduce distress. You may be wondering, but what if a trigger isn't obvious? Some triggers are subtle. A shadow across the floor, a faint smell, a change in routine. It really takes patience and empathy and trial and error to discover them, but you can discover them and they will be helpful in responding and decreasing behaviors. Now let's talk about what to do when behaviors appear. First and foremost, you've heard me say it, I'll say it over and over again, step into their reality, not your reality, not the reality of where we are and the time we are. Step into their reality. Every action is communication. Be understanding, validate, try and get a picture of what they're imagining and where they are in their mind. Don't rush or correct them. Pause and observe them. Be supportive. Take a breath. Look for clues and ask, what might this behavior be telling me? For example, when I talk about validating emotion, say someone is yelling, get me out of here or get out of here. Don't argue with them. Instead, acknowledge, I see you're upset. You feel unsafe. Let's figure it out together. You're safe. I'm here with you. I understand that you are angry. I understand that you feel unsafe. You have to validate what they are expressing. Validation reassures the person that their feelings matter, and we all want that. You need to adjust the environment and approach. If your approach hasn't been working, then change it. Maybe you need to reduce noise or bright lights in the environment. Maybe they think that the light pole in the neighbor's yard is shining in their window and they're spying on them. Pull the blinds. Move them to a different seat. Offer choices to give control. That might be offering them something else to do or trying to distract them away from that. Break tasks into simple steps. Adjusting the environment and the approach. If you are having this and getting dressed or getting ready or mealtime or showering, simple steps. It may take longer, but you are going to see in the end, it's going to be more impactful. Use calm communication. When dealing with behaviors, speak slowly, softly, with clear cues. Avoid arguing, and please don't correct them. It's not going to get you anywhere. Use gestures, such as nodding your head, smiling, touch, or guiding words. This is going to be calming, have a calming effect on someone who's having an outburst. And then care for yourself. Managing behaviors can be exhausting. Take breaks. Seek support, and remember, the behavior isn't personal. It is not directed at you. It is their voice for saying, I'm confused. I don't understand. I don't feel safe. I don't feel secure. It is not personal. Seek support, and please take breaks. Step away if you're having a hard time coping. You also return to the first person and relate to what they're saying. Become calmer yourself. Set the stage, model it. The world around them is confusing, and you can make a difference. Allow yourself to be able to do that. Imagine living in a world where every day familiar people, places, and tasks feel unpredictable. Your brain struggles to interpret simple instructions. Fear and confusion are constant companions. That's Alzheimer's disease. Behavior is the language of that world. By understanding it as communication, we shift from frustration to connection. Every outburst, every resistance, every repetition is an opportunity to meet them where they are, to calm, reassure, and support them. Alzheimer's Awareness Month reminds us that these behaviors are not intentional. They are voices calling for understanding in a world that no longer makes sense to them. As caregivers, families, or friends, your patience, empathy, and calm presence are the most powerful tools you have. Observe, validate, adapt, and care, not just for the person with Alzheimer's disease, but for yourself. Step into their reality, listen with your heart, and remember, behavior is communication, love and need wrapped in confusion. When we respond with compassion, we honor the person beyond the disease. Before I close today, I want to give you some key takeaways that I think are going to be helpful for you. Behavioral triggers are caused by unmet needs, environmental factors, or brain changes. Behavior is communication, not intentional misbehavior. Observation, empathy, and validation are critical in understanding and responding. Simple changes in environment, pacing, and tone can dramatically reduce stress. Caregivers must also care for themselves to maintain patience and compassion. Thank you for joining me today on the podcast. If this podcast has helped you, I would like you to share it with someone else who may be walking the path that you're walking. Subscribe and share and visit us at the Disappearing Mind Podcast. Until next time, this is Dawn Platt. Make it a memorable day.
Thank you for joining us for the Disappearing Mind Podcast. We hope it's helped you find clarity and support along your journey. Be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode, visit our website to suggest future topics, and share the podcast with friends and family.